So good to be together once again with brothers and sisters here at Neyland Avenue Christian Reformed Church. I was saying to somebody, it's a little awkward when you grow up in a church to see people that you used to call Mr. and Mrs. To make that switch. But at age 60, I think I've earned the right to do that. But you'll have to forgive me if I stumble a bit. 61. Thank you, my dear. Happy Mother's Day. Friends, the adventure begins with a vision. After having been prevented from traveling to other places in Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey, Paul receives a vision of a man from Macedonia. So no longer where Paul has been working, but now in new territory in what is now called Europe. Come over to Macedonia and help us, begs the man. Now, I can imagine after having received a vision like that and such clear direction from the Lord, Paul and his friends anticipated something big. Preaching to packed synagogues, perhaps, or even jam-filled stadiums. But when Paul and his partners arrive in the Roman colony of Philippi in Macedonia, they find that there is not even a synagogue in the city. It takes 10 Jewish men to make a synagogue, which means that pagan Philippi doesn't even have 10. What it does have is a place of prayer down by the riverside. But when Paul and his partners arrive there, they find only a small group of women meeting for prayer, and not a single man of Macedonia among them. This is probably not at all what they had expected. And that often happens when you are on mission with God. The adventure begins with a vision, but the vision often plays itself out in ways in which you have never expected. Mary and I can relate to that because 6 years ago, God gave us the vision to work with refugees in Germany. That vision did not come to us in the night, but rather through a strong conviction and through many wondrously open doors and through past experience with the language and culture of Germany, past relationship with friends. But come over to Germany and help us, said something deep inside of us. We thought that we would be working primarily with the many Syrians who were fleeing war and ruin in their country. When we arrived, however, we encountered many Iranians who were open to Jesus. And what we discovered is that there are people from many nations who are seeking refuge in Europe. People from Afghanistan and Eritrea and Nigeria and India and Turkey and Iraq, and now most recently from Ukraine and also from Russia. We thought our man of Macedonia was for sure a Syrian, but he turned out to be from many other places in the world as well. And he wasn't just a man, but women too were called and included in the vision. So the adventure begins with a vision, but the vision plays itself out in unexpected ways. And when that happens, God's servants need to be faithful to the opportunities that God presents to them. God's servants need to be faithful to the opportunities that God presents to them. When Paul and his missionary partners discover that only a small women's prayer group is gathered down by the riverside in Philippi, they don't consider that it's not worth their time or effort or beneath their dignity to spend time with them. They don't decide to pack up and just go home. No, they seize the opportunity that God has given them, even though that opportunity is different from what they asked for or imagined. I never imagined that I would be planting a church for and with newcomers in Berlin in the German language. I always said to Mary, I'm open to ministry in Germany, but never would I preach in German. I now do that every week. And church planning, I mean, my brother's the church planner in my family. I mean, Carl did that. I was a pastor for almost 30 years, but all my previous experience was in long established congregations and then only in English. But when our German supervisor told us that our new assignment was to plant a new congregation in an old church building in the middle of the city of Berlin for and with refugees, we knew that God was presenting us with a new opportunity to move forward in God's mission. Of course, we're well aware that church planters are half our age or younger. But, you know, when God offers you the opportunity, you got to take him up on it. So in our advanced old age, we've become church planters. And to our amazement, God's blessing. It's happening. As Paul makes use of the opportunity that God has given him and tells that small group of women gathered at the riverside about Jesus, God opens the heart of one of them. She is Lydia, and she is a successful businesswoman who trades in expensive purple cloth. She's not Jewish, but she worships the Lord God of Israel. Lydia hears the message about how God raised the executed Jesus from the dead, revealing Jesus as Messiah, as God's chosen king for his people, but also as the Lord of every nation. She hears that. And the Lord throws open the doors of Lydia's heart to say yes to Jesus as her Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice that it's the Lord who does this. The Lord opens her heart. Paul doesn't pry it open with his carefully crafted presentation. Lydia doesn't even open her own heart to the Lord, although she certainly isn't trying to keep it shut either. But ultimately, brothers and sisters, it's the Lord who opens hearts. God's word, together with the power of the Holy Spirit, moves someone to say yes to Jesus. Through the word and through the Spirit, God reveals Jesus as Savior and Lord, and people say yes to him. I find that both humbling and liberating. It's humbling in that try as hard as I can't open anybody's heart. My best work can't open anybody's heart. That's humbling. Only God can open the human heart to Jesus. That's humbling, but it's also liberating. Because it means that I don't have to make anyone a believer. That's God's work, not mine. My business is faithfully showing people Jesus. guess what? That's your business as well. That's your business as a follower of Jesus, to faithfully present Jesus to people by the words you speak, by how you treat other human beings, by the way you live your life, by your priorities, faithfully day in and day out presenting Jesus to people. A young Indian woman who started attending our church wanted to show us something. Someone in the young adults group had given her a Bible. She was absolutely thrilled. We wished we had given her the Bible. And we learned from that give people a Bible. What a tremendous gift and what a heartfelt offering that can be. She is getting to know Jesus, and we believe that the Lord is opening up her heart. The Lord opens Lydia's heart, and very soon afterward, it sounds like the very same day, she and her entire household, including children and household servants, they're all baptized. Everyone in her house comes under the water of baptism and receives the sign and seal of dying and rising with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know quite how you do it here nowadays at Neyland Avenue Christian Reformed Church, but we don't baptize people quite that quickly in our church. In fact, it's a big question how much people need to know or understand or comprehend before they are baptized. Our friends in the Iranian congregation that we're familiar with and the leaders that we mentor, they insist on a 6-month weekly pre-baptism class before someone is baptized. And then that person's got to take a test besides. And sometimes they are rejected and they have to take the whole 6-month class again. We wonder whether that's a bit too long and too difficult. But then again, there are those who think that a baptism certificate will get them asylum. It won't, but there are those who think it will. And it's fascinating. The church has wrestled with the question of when to baptize for centuries, and it still is a very important question for God's mission today that we have to wrestle with. But regardless of when, those whose hearts the Lord has opened need baptism into Christ's church. They need to be made part of the body. So it begins with the vision, but the vision plays itself out differently than what's expected, yet God's servants seize the opportunities that the Lord presents to them, and then the Lord opens hearts, and people are baptized and made part of Christ's body, the church. And then this detail from our passage. After the Lord opens her heart, Lydia opens her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, Lydia says to Paul and his partners in mission, come and stay at my house. Come and stay at my house. And that's what people with open hearts do. They open up their resources in order to support God's mission in this world. And Mary and I want to thank you, our fellow believers here at Neyland Avenue Christian Reformed Church, for doing exactly that. for opening up your resources in order to support God's mission in this world. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting missionaries throughout the whole world with your gifts and with your prayers. Thank you for opening up this Sunday to hear about what God is doing in Berlin. We are so honored to have you as partners in a great adventure. The great adventure of God's mission to let the nations know that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Oh, we thank you, our Lord and our God, for this great adventure of your mission in this world. Thank you that you use us in this mission. Help us to trust you to give us opportunities to witness to Jesus, your Son. Even in this current week, Lord, reveal to us opportunities to bear witness that Jesus is Lord over all. Open our hearts to you and to your will. Give us dreams and vision, Lord, and help us to pursue them. Inspire us, too, to open our resources to serve your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Give you just a very, very little brief introduction to what our ministry actually is. But before that, I want to echo David's gratitude to your partnership with us in this ministry. Thank you for your prayer and for your financial support. And I want to say a very special thanks for your Christmas cards. You are the only partnering congregation who sends us Christmas cards, and your greetings bring me so much joy. So thank you for that. As David mentioned, when we went in 2016, we had this vision of working with refugees, we thought Syrian refugees. And it turned out neither we nor our German partner neither Resonate nor our German partner, the Berlin City Mission, knew what the contours of that ministry would be. About a year after we were into the work, as David said, our supervisor said, why don't you plant a church for and with newcomers to Berlin? So that God is blessing that work, actually. And you can see from the picture, we are a group, anytime we get together, representing about 6 to maybe, on a good day, 12 or 14 different cultures or countries of origin. And our language of communication, our common language, is basic German. We are about 1/3 lifelong Christians. We are about 1/3 younger Christians, maybe 8 years to 8 months. Typical or would be that a family has become Jesus followers in Tehran, in Iran, and it's become simply too dangerous. So they come as religious refugees to Germany. We also have people who have encountered Christ in our community or somewhere else on their refugee story and have come to us. But then we're also about 1/3 curious, not yet Christians. They are curious about Jesus, or perhaps they are seeking safe community. Because the radical hospitality of Jesus Christ is indeed a refuge to all, whether people have yet recognized Jesus as Savior or if they're still on the journey. We can't do this alone. So our second aspect of our ministry is that we mentor a team of young Christians into Christian leadership. We have some young German seminarians. We have some former students of mine from Calvin. This is actually a picture of us with my former students. Unfortunately, the German seminarians are not there, nor are our two young Cameroonians, Derek and Abby. So they are not on the picture. A third aspect of our ministry is which David mentioned, mentoring the leadership of ethnic congregations. Ethnic congregations is simply the term that we use for congregations that are worshiping in the first language of their people group. This is the Farsi-speaking Iranian congregation. We also mentor the leadership of a Tigrinya-speaking Eritrean congregation. Berlin is a city of 3.6 million people. And in 2015, which was referred to as the refugee crisis, about 65,000 refugees came and stayed in Berlin. In the last 8, 10, 12 weeks, Berlin has received 65,000 Ukrainian refugees who are staying now in Berlin. So imagine tomorrow morning, these are primarily women and youngish children. So imagine tomorrow morning, tens of thousands of children are in the Grand Rapids public school system who do not speak English. This is our world and this is our life. I refer to us as a rather ragtag bunch. We are seeking together every day to be children of the light, bringing the message of God's unconditional grace and love to the dispossessed, to the displaced, to the frightened people from all over the world who have come to Berlin. Our world is disjointed, but we have hope, because God is making all things new. Let's sing now about this growing kingdom of God.